take your Bibles, you can open them up to Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And just to let you know, speaking of offering, the offering for last week was $1,900.70. I don't know if Josh mentioned that or not. So up until now, Paul has explained to us that without love, our gifts cannot be used properly. So love is the essential ingredient to the exercise of our gifts. Without love, we cannot really please God. We cannot serve Him in the way that He desires us to. Really, without love, all we're doing is really going through the motions of serving and pleasing God. And really, without love, our hearts aren't in it. Now what Paul does, continuing on here, he gives us the qualities that we need to be able to handle and live life in a spiritual way. We have two great barriers that stand in our way of our spiritual growth. The first one is the sinfulness of our own hearts. And then it's the sin in the lives of those around us. The only thing that can overcome both the sin in our own lives and give us the ability to deal with the sin that's in other people's lives is to know what genuine love is to love others genuinely. He gives us a list of the genuine qualities love will give to us, qualities which will help us overcome both the sin in our own lives and also in the lives of others. So this is what love is, and this is what love really looks like. And before we continue, let's pray. Our gracious and heavenly Father, we're just thankful for this day you've given to us. And again, Father, we just thank you for all those that are here. We thank you for all those who have dialed in to listen today. And Father, as we continue to study Corinthians, I just pray that you would enlighten our hearts and our minds and help us to understand who you are, draw us closer to you, help us to take what you teach us and to be able to apply it to our lives. And today, Father, I especially pray that as we go over what love really is, that you would just touch our hearts and let us see that genuine love is the way that you love us. It's from you. You are a God of love, and that through the Holy Spirit, we can also begin to genuinely love others as you love us. And so, Father, I just pray that our hearts, our minds are open. Help us to be able to evaluate our own lives. Do we really love the way you do? And I just ask for this in Jesus' name. Amen. One thing about God's love is really God's love is strange to us. We are born in sin, and our definition of love, what love is, and the definition of what God's love is two different things. And for us to be able to love the way that God loves, we need to have the Holy Spirit indwelling our lives, because it is impossible for us to love the way that God loves unless God enables us to do so. And I just wanted to make that point before we continue on here, that you'll never be able to love the way that God wants you to if the Holy Spirit is not involved in your life and if you're not seeking to please God. So in verse 4, Paul goes, charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity, and of course charity is love. Charity envieth not, charity vaunteth not itself, it's not puffed up. So to suffer, charity, to suffer long means to be long-spirited. The interpretation of the Greek here, it means forbearing or subjectively patient. It means it bears, it suffers long, to be long-suffering, to have long patience, and to be patient or patiently endure. And remember, when we're talking about love here, we're not talking about so much the circumstances of life. We're talking about how we relate to people, okay? This is how we relate. This is how people relate to us. This is how we relate to people. And a lot of times, we have to patiently endure others. And the only way that we can patiently endure others is with God's help. Love helps us to put up with those who rub us the wrong way. Have you ever had somebody rub you the wrong way? Yeah. And it also helps us to put up with those who actually intentionally try to harm us, because there are people out there that, because of sin, will intentionally harm us. So in order to combat that, we need to learn how to suffer long with people. It says it is kind. The meaning of this is to show oneself useful, to act benevolently. So kindness, what kindness does is it moves us to help the poor. It moves us to help the sick. It moves us to help the lonely or the downtrodden, and those who are basically helpless, not due to any fault of their own. So a lot of times we can look and, you know, we might see somebody in need and we just walk by it. There's people hurting around us every day, and we don't take the time to be there for them. But yet, if we truly love people, then we will have this kindness that would move us, okay? It would motivate us to help those around us. He says that envy is not, to envy not, or to envy means to have a warmth of feeling for or against, okay? To affect, covet, desire, envy, to be jealous over, to be zealous. And really what envy does is envy hates to see others succeed. It hates it when others are more successful, prosperous, and honored. And envy will always view life as unfair. Life really stinks. Everybody has life better than me, okay? It always feels that it gets the short end of the stick. It's the person who could work hard at a job and when it comes to a promotion, they're constantly passed over. And the person next to them that they don't feel works half as hard as they do ends up being promoted. And then there's hard feelings in those. So envy hates to see it when others succeed or when they have more than what they do. Vaunteth not itself. Vaunteth not itself just means a braggart, okay? Someone who brags about themselves. There's nothing worse than standing there having a conversation with somebody when the whole conversation revolves around them, what they're capable of doing, what they've done, and they just brag. You know, well, okay, fine. You know, so it doesn't vaunt itself. So, in other words, it doesn't boast. So it doesn't seek to put itself on display. So we don't seek to put ourselves on display. We're not trying to draw attention to us, okay? It doesn't seek to be noticed. It does not live for the applause of men. See, that's what a braggart does. He has to be right out there. He's got to draw everybody's attention to him. But we're not to do that. We don't vaunt ourselves. It's not puffed up. It's a sense of blowing is the definition, to inflate. We would probably say it was somebody full of hot air, right? They're full of hot air, but it's puffed up makes proud. So in other words, it's not puffed up. It doesn't think more highly of itself than it ought to. And it doesn't exalt itself above others. It's not arrogant. It's not conceited. So it doesn't have one of those, we've heard it before, better than thou attitudes, you know? And that's the worst thing you can have, a Christian can be called, you're a better than thou attitude, you know, like holier than thou. So it's not puffed up, doesn't think more highly of itself. Verse 5 says, doth not behave itself unseemingly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. So it says it does not, love does not behave unseemingly. In other words, it will never act in a way that shames, humiliates, or embarrasses others, okay? It will do nothing to belittle other people. It never acts unseemingly. It's always careful not to put others down or to degrade them. or put them in embarrassing situations. Seeketh not her own. In other words, it's not selfish. It doesn't insist on having to get its own way all the time. It will be considerate in seeking actually the well-being of others. If getting my own way will bring harm to others, then I would rather not have my own way, because it's not selfish. It doesn't think of just itself. It's not easily provoked. So it isn't irritable, it isn't sensitive, and it isn't easily offended. And I know that with me, I try not to be easily provoked, but I always notice that if I'm really, 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 really tired and exhausted, then I become irritable and I become easily provoked. And the best thing for me to do, I learned a long time ago, is have Nancy tell me to go to bed. Go get a nap, you know, and then wake up a little refreshed, because then you handle things better. So this is one area where if I get fatigued, I am easily provoked. But see, we're not to be easily provoked. We're not to be irritable and sensitive, easily offended. And believe me, there is no joy in hanging around an irritable person. Have you ever hung around somebody that's irritable all the time? Yeah, please leave the room. And it's hard to be around people that are easily offended. It's almost like you have to walk on eggshells around them, because you're afraid that you might say or do something that will set them off and offend them. And see, love is not easily provoked. And thinks no evil. In other words, it doesn't keep a ledger of all the wrongs others have caused it, and it doesn't try to get even, okay? It will forgive, and it never brings up the faults of others. And I think this is a good thing for us to learn in marriage, isn't it? Okay? We get in an argument or get in a disagreement as a husband and wife. What's the first thing we do? We bring up everything that they did wrong in the past. This is the way you always act, isn't it? This is always what you do. And it has the same way to do for, our relationships. Well, you've done this to me before, haven't you? Huh? You've let me down like a million times. See, it thinks no evil. It doesn't keep a ledger of all the wrongs others have caused it, okay? And really, it has a forgiving attitude toward others. And it just doesn't bring it up. Like God, it throws it out the door. Does not rejoice in iniquity. In other words, it doesn't take pleasures in the sins, failures, and misfortunes of others. It does not take pleasure in seeing others get what they deserve. And the world is full of that. We see that today, where if somebody they don't like falls on their face, it's all over the place. It's all over the media. It's all over, because they take pleasure in that. They take pleasure in seeing other people destroyed. But we are not to be that. Love does not take pleasure. Even if somebody deserved it, it does not take pleasure in it. It rejoices in truth. It does not condone lies and deceit. And it's always glad when the truth wins out. Bears all things. It refuses to make a public spectacle of others' sins. And it chooses actually to keep them confidential. You know, it's not a gossip. It doesn't run around the community and take the pleasure in publicly revealing everybody's faults and their failures and every little dirty detail in the back of their lives. Well, you know, yeah, I remember them. Do you know what? Let me fill you in, okay? Let me fill you in. But see, it doesn't take joy in that. It doesn't rejoice in that. Bears all things, so it doesn't take the pleasure in revealing faults. It believeth all things. It overlooks the faults of others and instead looks for the best of them what's best in them, and always gives others the benefit of the doubt. So believeth all things. That's easy. That's not an easy thing to do either, because most of the time in our relationships, we want to hone in on the faults. And we need to overlook the faults, and instead, when we see people, we should look for the best in them. In other words, look and see, what would that person be if God was involved in their lives? You know, what could, see, God sees the best in us. He doesn't see the worst in us, and we need to have that same attitude toward others. Hopeth all things. It's not pessimistic toward others. It never gives up on others. It doesn't see anyone as a lost cause or as hopeless or beyond help. It doesn't give up on those relationships which are troublesome. Sometimes we can have a troublesome relationship with people, and what we want to do is say, forget it. But it doesn't give up easily on those troubled relationships. It hangs in there. It hopes for all things, endureth all things. It refuses to be depressed, defeated, conquered, dismayed by the rampant sin that's in the world today and the lives of others in the world. I mean, look at the world around. It's easy to get depressed. It's easy to get discouraged. But you know what? It endures all things. It refuses to give up. Now, when you look at love the way that God describes it to us, and this is how God wants us to love others, it's not easy, okay? When we look at this list, this is a list of what we should be like all the time, 24/7, okay? It's also a list that we will really never in this life be able to live up to perfectly. We will not perfectly live up to this at all times. So there's going to be times that when we falter, there's going to be times when we stumble in this area. And we will still at times always fail to live up to the standards that God has set before us, because this is the standard that God has set before us. But the other thing is knowing that we can't live up to it perfectly doesn't give us an excuse not to try. Okay? This is our goal. This is what we're aiming for, okay? Being able to love ourselves and to love others in the same way that Christ loves us. See, Christ loves you, and he loves everyone else. So if he loves me, I need to learn to love me the way he loves me, not the way I want to love me, okay? And I need to learn how to love others in that same way. That should be our ultimate goal. And when we fail to love, what we need to do is we need to take the proper steps to get ourselves back on track, okay? If we fail, don't get discouraged and get up. Pick yourself up, get back on the right track. Whatever it involves, if it's personal relationships, asking for forgiveness, whatever it is, we need to get back on the right track. Verse 8 says, charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away with. Now, Paul mentions three gifts that the Corinthian believers here put so much stock in. And he states that all three of these gifts are only temporary gifts that will one day be done away with. They'll just disappear. In this life, we know that we will never obtain a complete knowledge of God's word. We are constantly learning and learning and learning, and it doesn't matter how old we are. So we're always learning, always growing, but one day we will be made perfect, and then our knowledge will be complete. So one day we will all speak the same language, so we won't need tongues, okay? And we will all be in the presence of God, so we're not going to need anyone to reveal his word to us, because he will be there to reveal it to us himself. In verse 11, it says, when I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. And As you know, if you're a parent and you're raising children, you often notice that children are unaware of the dangers of the world, aren't they? Right? They often speak about things that they really don't understand or really know anything about. They think they know everything, but they don't. They live in an imaginary world where everything always turns out happily ever after. And they are also, again, unaware of all the dangers that are in the world. But as adults, as parents, we live in the reality that what? The world is a dangerous place full of evil due to sin. It's a dangerous place out there. And we need to be able to protect our children from it. But as adults, we understand that. But putting it into context of what Paul is talking about, when it came to spiritual gifts or spiritual things, the Corinthians were acting like children and perceiving spiritual things as if they're nothing but toys that needed to be played with. And I always notice with my grandchildren, when they come up to the house, what's the first thing they head for? The toys, right? They have to play, use their imagination. So this is the way that the Corinthians, they were treating them like they were toys. Their understanding of spiritual things was like that of a child and not an adult. And, you know, an adult, at least one who is mature, would understand that the purpose of gifts were to build others up. And this is Paul's point here. Without love, the gifts are worthless, and we need to understand that the gifts are for others, not for ourselves. And they would understand that every gift was important to the edifying of the body. In other words, my gift doesn't make me better than somebody else who has a different gift. Verse 12 says, "For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even also as I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity." And one thing we know is that one day our faith will become sight. Right now we walk by faith, not by sight, but there will be a day when our faith becomes sight. And our hope, right now our hope is in eternity, but there will come a day when our hope will become reality, right? So now, love, on the other hand, will never cease. Okay, love should be the driving force behind our faith and our hope. Now, unity, diversity, maturity, all these things Paul's been talking about all this time leading up here with the Corinthian believers, it all depends on love. Okay? Genuine love is what keeps us unified. Okay? Love causes us to focus on what we have in common in Christ. What do we have in common? Christ, right? Every one of us here, we have Christ. What don't we have in common? A lot of things, right? Okay, there's a lot of diversity here. It helps us keep focused on what we have in common in Christ, and not our differences or how different we are from one another, because we are different. We all have differences of opinions. We have different ways of looking at things. We have different ways of acting, and everybody's just different. Okay, I'm the only normal one here. You're all strange. But that's the way we sometimes feel it. We're the only normal ones. Everybody else is strange. Well, no, we're just different, right? Okay? So love also is the only thing which can cause us to mature. Without love, we will grow. We will never grow out of our immaturity. You know, a child is born selfish and needs to be taught what? How to be unselfish, right? It's the same way with our love. Okay, and here's some things you have to ask yourself. Am I loving people the way I should? So ask yourself, is there anybody that you avoid fellowship with that belongs to our church? Is there somebody that you would just soon not be around? That's not love, okay? Do we look down on certain people that are in our church or in our congregation because we think we're really a little bit better than they are? Do we look down on anybody? Is there anybody in here that we look down on? That isn't love. Are we envious of others who have certain gifts and positions in the church? Are we put out when others are honored, when we're not? I don't know why he's always getting the pat on the back, okay? I'm doing just as much around here, but they're always the one getting praised. makes me mad? Are we easily provoked by some in the church? Are there somebody that just knows how to stick it to us? They know what buttons to push, and it's like every time I talk to them, I have a hard time keeping my voice lowered because they irritate the living daylight right out of me. So are we easily provoked by anybody in the church? Do we find it hard to forgive those who have wronged us or wounded us in some way? Well, that's not love. Okay? Do we harbor bitterness in our hearts and desire to see harm come to those who have injured us? Do we rejoice when something bad happens to them? Oh, good, they got just what they deserved. I'm so happy. Just makes my day. That's not love. Okay, love, even your worst enemy, you don't wish anything ill on them. Are we humble enough to let others think we are wrong in order to maintain unity and peace within the body? Has anybody ever accused you of something, or people are saying things about you that aren't true, and, you know, are you willing to just leave it in the Lord's hands and let it go? Or do you have to run around and defend yourself? You know, most of the time, you'll find that if somebody says something to you that's about not true, if you run around and defend yourself, the only thing you do is make it worse. Just leave it in God's hands for the sake of the unity and of the body. So we all have gifts to be used in edifying the body. The question is, are we using them? Are we? Or are we just content to every week just come here to church on Sundays and sit here in the pews for 1 or 2 hours, and then when we leave the place, we forget about all of our fellow believers? We don't see them the rest of the week. So how are we exercising our gifts if we're not involved in fellowship, if we're not involved in being there for others or somebody that's in need? The exercise of gifts aren't for here for this 1 or 2 hours. I don't think any of you are exercising your gifts right now, are you? Me, I am. You're not. Not right now. But when you walk out this door, are you exercising your gift? Or maybe after church, are you fellowshipping? If you're an encourager, are you exercising your gift? So we all have gifts. The other thing is we are so different from one another in so many ways. We are different. And are we willing to overlook our differences and work together for the sake of the gospel? Can we learn to love each other despite our diversity, despite our differences? And I just want to end here. I want to look at it from a different way. Love, according to the Bible, is selflessness. Okay? Love is selflessness. It doesn't think about self. It thinks about others. Now, lack of love is selfishness. See, this is the love that we're born with. It's selfishness. We need to learn how to be selfless and really love the way that God loves. So selfishness causes us to be impatient with others. Love causes us to be patient. Selfishness causes us to be unkind to others. Love causes us to be kind. Selfishness causes us to envy others. Love causes us to rejoice over what others obtain and their successes. Selfishness causes us to see ourselves as better than others. Love causes us to see everyone as both equal and as of great value. They're just as valuable. Selfishness causes us to boast about what we have and what we've accomplished. Love never seeks to bring attention to itself in what it has or what it has accomplished. It doesn't seek attention. Selfishness hates when it doesn't get its own way, and when it doesn't get what it wants, stomps around like a baby, right? Like a child. But love will always remain in control and refuses to act in an ungodly manner when it's denied it what it wants. It refuses to act in an ungodly manner. Selfishness causes us to act and react in ways that are not proper. Okay, love refuses to act and react in a proper way. Selfishness is only concerned with what it wants and what it needs, even at the expense of others. It's willing to harm others to get its own way. Love will deny itself for the sake of others. It will never do anything that hurts anybody else. Selfishness flies off the handle at the littlest provocation. It is easily angered, easily disturbed. Love will always try to remain calm when it is provoked. And even when it has the right to be angry, it will never lash out in a way that harms another human being. Selfishness will keep a record of every wrong done to it, and it will always bring up those wrongs when it's convenient for them. Love will take the list of wrongs and it will throw them away as if they've never happened. Okay? It will never bring up those wrongs again under any circumstances, what people have done. Selfishness takes pleasure in the unrighteous acts of others. Selfishness will use any means to achieve its purpose, even if it takes lies and deceit to do so. Lie, steal, cheat, whatever it has to. Selfishness does that. Love always rejoices in the truth, though, and it will never resort to using lies or deception, even if it means by not doing so it will cause them to look bad. Love will never use lies and deceits to make itself look good. That's on love. And again, not an easy thing to live up to, but it should be our goal and it should be our aim. And can we look at those around us here today and say, I love you, and I love you, and I love you, and I love them? Can I say that I love them in the way that God wants me to love, or is there little flaws in me yet that I need to take care of? Father, we just thank you for this time that we could look into your word. And Father, I do, and we do, understand that your love and our love is not the same thing. And the only way that we can love the way that you love is to submit our lives to you and to allow the Holy Spirit to work in our hearts and our minds, and by submitting and praying and asking you, you know, Lord, help me to love others the way that you love. And it's through the power of the Holy Spirit that enables us to do so. But it's something that we need to desire. We can't just go around and think, well, you know, it comes that easy, because it doesn't. We have to long to love the way you do. So when we deal with people, when we deal with people that are hard to deal with, help us to be able to love them. Help us to be able to deal with them in a godly manner. And I ask for this in Jesus' name. Amen.